Christ is risen. If you want, you can turn in your Bibles to John chapter 20. You would have heard the first part read by Jason this morning as a part of our worship. I'll be reading John 20, verses 19 to 22. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit."
Easter Sunday certainly is the high point of the Christian year. It is a grand day. It's beautiful. It is hopeful. It's a glorious day to celebrate the defeat of death. It is a day with its music and its scripture lessons that so often captivate us and draw us towards a greater goodwill. But Resurrection Sunday is not a stationary day. It is not. These words, "Why are you weeping? Do not hold on to me. I am ascending. As the Father has sent me, so send I you." And the scripture words that we read are on the move. We may mark Easter on our calendars. Once a year, it does come around. It is a very special Sunday in so many ways, but it is not stationary. This year, our scripture lessons come from the Gospel of John. John, the slightly different from the rest of them Gospels. We do have four of them, four Gospels, but when we dive in, when we read, we find that John is quite a bit different than the others. We might even say that John is more intimate. And if we are afraid of intimacy, if we have learned not to trust deep intimacy, then perhaps we speed right through it, right past the part where it says, "So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved." And is that not quite a thing to say about yourself? As you write it down in your gospel, that "I am the one whom Jesus loved." Well, what about the others, we might ask? The other ones? What about Pete and Andy and Bart and Matt and Tom and all the other disciples, all the other followers? Did Jesus not love them too? How is it that John gets off by saying that he is the one, he's the one that Jesus loved? And what about the intimacy of the women in this story, like Mary standing by the tomb, dropping her tears? Are we men to assume that tears that splash to the ground at her feet are just another woman thing? So much mushy mush mush? Is that what we are to think? Or is it about closeness? Is Jesus closer to some than others? Are the tears she sheds about closeness? Are they like Jesus' own tears at his own close friend Lazarus' death? Jesus' tears. Are we to think that Jesus had no intimate connections with women whatsoever? And are we just supposed to glance past all this intimacy stuff, the tears, the one whom Jesus loved parts, and get right to the resurrection? Gospel of John sets it up just a little differently. It has closeness. It has emotion, and it is the reason why the early Celtic Christians happened to be very fond of this gospel in particular. They thought John was closer to the heartbeat of God than all of the others, and when they found this attractive, which may or may not be how we have come to think about the Bible, or about Jesus for that matter, but in John there is a holy intimacy that relationships that Jesus had back then may have varied, that there might have been a closeness differential between, say, John and Judas. Judas betrayed. John was the one whom Jesus loved, apparently, which is interesting. Now, typically the Easter morning reading, when it comes from the Gospel of John, will leave off at verse 18 that Jason read for us. It ends with, Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. The end. The assigned lesson for today ends there. It is very Easterish. But this morning I want to extend that usual Easter reading by adding six more sentences that were just read, for they do extend the intimacy, the closeness of Jesus. In John, the Holy Spirit comes quickly on the heels of resurrection. In the other Gospels, the Holy Spirit comes during Pentecost season. In John, Jesus breathes on this gathered bunch right away. And I don't know how you size these things up, but there are a select few people in my life that I allow to come breath close. Connie, Eliza, Isis, and little Judah, who runs straight from his Irish spring bath to the living room couch and asks me to smell how good he smells. And I do, and it is an intimate closeness we have. I can feel the breath of his smile as he puts the nape of his neck next to my nose for a sniff. And so what are we to make of this Jesus breathing his Holy Spirit on this group, breathing the words, peace be with you. I was intrigued recently to hear of an indigenous group of people whose language does not include a word for hello. In their language, there is no word for hello. Instead, when they approach someone, their words of greeting are, I am here. I am here. Which sounds ridiculous at first. Kind of literally obvious, is it not? I mean, if our ushers at the front door this morning had greeted you with a nod and said, I am here, I am here, instead of a hello or a good morning, we'd think that they might be a bit off their game. If Dustin would have started off this morning by tapping on the microphone and saying, I am here, we'd have thought, well, dude, why don't you go right ahead and say something a little more obvious to us? I am here? Well, of course you are here. I see you. But what if there was more going on in a greet-up like that? What if more was assumed and understood? There are places in the world where a simple hello just won't do. When greeting someone, you stop to discover, you take time to hang out and find out how they're doing. How is your family doing? How are your crops doing? How's your livestock faring? Not so much a simple hello, but to inquire how a person's day is of the one standing in front of you in your midst. The greeting of, I am here, becomes more of a, this is who you're looking at today, right now, at the present moment. I am here. I think very often the only way that we read our resurrection scriptures is for proof. And okay, surely there is that. But in a scripture like this one, there's more going on, for Easter does not seem to stand still. If we keep on reading, the presence of the risen Jesus comes close, comes near, breathes life into disciples, pitching a way forward for them. Let's face it. In this scripture, this band of Jesus people were a bit of a hot mess, hunkered down, backs pushed up against locked doors, complete with their tears, complete with their fears, and then Jesus appears. Peace be with you, feared ones. And if we care to push our noses tightly into this scripture, we find Jesus getting redundant, repeating himself, saying it twice, as if he hadn't been heard the first time. Once, the first time, while locked up tight in their lockdown of fears, Jesus comes among them and says, peace be with you. And in the middle of their rejoicing, Jesus pushes repeat. One more time, peace be with you. Peace be with you in the middle of your rejoice. Peace be with your fears. Peace be with your rejoicing. And what if it was us? What if we could step ourselves into the Bible matrix? Climb ourselves into this and place ourselves in front of the risen Jesus and say, I am here. I am here with all my stuff. with all my baggage, with everything, I am here. How honest would that be? For these past 6 weeks of the Lenten season, we at Marian have been suggesting the possibility of being an ing church, where vastly different persons are being transformed. All of us like in 2 Corinthians 3, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected through a dim mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. This bold suggestion that all of us here have places to go. And so what about our reading of this? What about us? I mean, when we read this resurrection account, are we to believe that each of Jesus' followers, Pete, Jim, Andy, Bart, Matt, and Tom, and Judas, God rest his soul, and John, the loved one, and all of the rest are some kind of disciple clones? Are they all the same? A holy club of clones? Is that how we are to read this scripture? And what if it had been us? What if each one of us were to suddenly find the risen Jesus appearing in front of us? And we were to say to him, I am here. What if we began our Monday morning prayers that way? Jesus, I am here. This is what I've got going on today. Wouldn't that be a more honest approach to a resurrection that does not stand still? What if we prayed first thing Monday morning or Tuesday? Jesus, I know that I've just rolled out of bed, but I'm tired. I'm still tired. I'm weak, and I am worn. I am mid-semester. I've got decisions to make. I've got hard work completed. I've got more hard work to come. I've been fighting to keep my head above water. Life has been too much lately, too much weight, too much drama, too much muchness in my days ahead. Jesus, this morning, I am here. Hello to tired. And the resurrected Jesus drew close and said, peace be with you, tired disciple. What if Jesus was in the room when you prayed, Jesus, I feel disabled. My body is falling apart, failing me at every turn. My body does not look good anymore. My body is not attractive, and it does not attract. My body is imperfect. It does not even keep up with what I want to do with it. Hips and knees and shoulders, even my thinker is slowing down, slower than a tortoise in January. Jesus, I feel disabled. That's where I'm at today. And the resurrected Jesus drew close to you and whispered, peace be with you, disabled disciple. And hello to those who carry their doubts around. Jesus is in the room. The weeks leading up to Jesus' death were filled with an intensity, some of it holy, some of it downright demonic. Holy and demonic together, with an intensity that exploded into chaos and death. And is it any different for some of us, floundering for something solid, not sure of the days in front of us? Yet here is Jesus in the room showing off the scars of his body and seeing if they match the scars on yours. Peace be with you, doubting disciple. Peace be with you, scarred disciple. Peace be with you too. And yet not every day is the same. Not every day in our lives are a slide down. What of those Thursday days when unexpected mercy shows up, when a birth, when the news is good, when a surprise comes out of nowhere and it is infused with great joy and it is gratitude that opens up your morning prayers? I am here. Jesus, I am brimming with grateful. Hello to grateful. Peace be unto you, grateful disciple. In this scripture lesson, it is the disciples who are hiding. They are fearing for their lives. And Jesus steps into their room. And what, we might ask, has changed about that? What has changed from scripture day to present day? For there are those who still need to draw themselves in tight for personal safety, put their backs against the locked doors of culture for good reasons. The outside world of people can and show themselves to be violent, a world with people who cannot be trusted. So hiding is still a good thing. The Me Too movement is banging on that door. Hello to hiding. Peace be with you. Peace be unto you, hiding disciples. May one day you fall backwards and be caught by the mercy of Jesus, for the resurrection does not stand still. Not sure how you arrived here this Easter morning, not sure how you were greeted at the door, for that matter, or the person seated next to you. If we sit here in our grief, or in our joy, or anger, or carrying some big dumb mistake that we've made, or if it's the injuries we carry, or if we've come with gratitude, or if there is a glimmer of hope that we need the most, perhaps the most honest way to arrive is to say, Lord, I am here. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came among them and stood and said, Peace be with you. And it was no small thing. Jesus also said, As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. It was a way of saying, The resurrection does not stand still. And after that, Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit towards them, and it was intimate, and it was oh so close. And his risen power of change was unleashed upon the earth. Hello to the resurrection. Jesus, as he was so often doing with his disciples, was to take some of the most ordinary things like wine or juice and bread and say very curious things. He would say things like, This is my body, which I'm sure didn't make very much sense at first. He also took very common things like juice, things that you would find ordinarily on the table, but yet he would lift them up and say, New covenant, new covenant. This morning, in the spirit of resurrection and also in the spirit of the resurrection day not standing still, we offer communion as a contrast to the communion that was held on Maundy Thursday, the sense that it may have been a bit of a down day then, but something incredibly important happened, something that we continue to celebrate this day, and we do set aside a day to do it, but it does not stand still. We ask that you come forward this morning and complete that celebration sequence. Maybe you come down the aisle this way and receive bread and the juice from Pastor Connie. And as music is being played, feel free to come, one and all, to celebrate this communion and the fact that the resurrection does not stand still.